This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. On the first Friday of each month, we take occasion to discuss a topic of environmental pertinence to our state, to our county, and to our hometown. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and host of WEMU's first Friday Focus on the Environment. On this month's show, Lisa will cover the role that religion plays in stewarding our environment, with a focus on Pope Francis and his upcoming and much-anticipated encyclical on the environment.
My guest today is Rob Sisson, president of Conserve America, a national grassroots organization of Republicans for Environmental Protection dedicated to restoring the GOP's conservation legacy to the party. Rob is also a leading commentator on Pope Francis and his environmentally related efforts. Welcome to the show, Rob, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's great to be with you this morning.
Thank you for making the time. Now, Rob, communities of faith are playing an increasingly important role in stewarding our planet, from Buddhist monks in Tibet to Native Americans throughout the Americas. Pope Francis, in particular, has been making big waves in the media with his bold approaches to the environment. He's been seen posing with anti-fracking activists. He's has called the exploitation of nature a sin. What's more, the Pope is preparing a highly anticipated encyclical on the environment due out in March of this new year. Rob, what exactly is an encyclical and why so much attention to this anticipated document?
An encyclical is an official form of teaching that a pope or the church can issue that Catholics are bound to take seriously and spend time absorbing and learning from. It's not the same as, it's not church doctrine, but it's a next level down, and it has to be taken very important by the world's bishops and priests. And in the United States, that's a critical tool for those of us who care about protecting creation. There are 70 million Catholics in the U.S. It's the largest denomination here. The second largest denomination actually are ex-Catholics. There are 30 million ex-Catholics in the U.S. There are more than 17,000 parishes in the U.S., 262 Catholic universities with almost a million students. So an encyclical that is delivered to the bishops, to each parish, and to the universities will have a huge impact here in the United States.
So let's talk about those numbers a little bit. I mean, those are some big numbers here in the United States. Over the entire world, there are 1.2 billion Catholics worldwide. Will this actually, as you indicate, be read and actually be used?
Yes, I think it is. It will be. We've known that the Pope was preparing this encyclical for more than a year now, and there's a very stout behind-the-scenes effort to make sure that the bishops receive this, take it seriously, and act upon it already. And for a number of years, there are probably 10 or 12 bishops in the United States right now who are very vocal about climate change and protecting creation. So I expect this to be taken very seriously. And this will reach people in the pews who probably have no opinion on climate change right now or have not been informed or been exposed to any information other than, you know, headlines we see on cable TV or newspapers. So I think this will be a very important document.
89.1 WEMU's first Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about Pope Francis and his much-anticipated encyclical on the environment and climate change with Rob Sisson, president of Conserve America. Now, Rob, with the encyclical due out in March, how do you think this will influence next year's crucial UN climate meeting in Paris when countries will try to conclude 20 years of fraught negotiations with a universal commitment to reduce carbon emissions?
Well, I'm not calling for a miracle that all the countries in the world will come together and come up with the final plan that will solve this issue for us. But I would also do not underestimate the power or the influence of the Holy See. For those of us of my age, we remember Pope John Paul II and his work that led to the fall of the Russian Empire. And just a few weeks ago, we found out that Pope Francis actually played a very vital role behind the scenes in the thawing of relations with Cuba. So So I would expect that the Pope's actions, the Church's actions, will help us get farther down the field than we would otherwise have gotten.
Well, some say that Pope Francis's approach to climate is likely to actually attract resistance from Vatican conservatives and certain right-of-center church circles, particularly here in the United States, where Catholic climate skeptics include some of our most prominent elected officials. You know well that people like John Boehner, Republican leader of the House of Representatives, and Rick Santorum, the former Republican presidential candidate, fall into that category. What are your thoughts about that?
Right. No, in faith circles, there is a division of progressive and conservative, just like there is in the greater population. So, yeah, there will be pushback. I was interviewed by a prominent Catholic website a couple of years ago, and the pushback I received from readers of that publication was probably stronger and more vehement than anything I have received from any other publication. So I people of faith really dig their heels in, and it will take a lot of effort to move some people, but as a Republican and someone who's watched politicians for my entire life proclaim God, country, family in that order, it's going to be very difficult for Republican Catholic politicians to ignore this or not or to totally oppose the Pope's words. You bring up a great point. More than 30% of Congress are Catholics. You mentioned John Boehner on the House side. On the Senate side, Lisa Murkowski, who will be chair of the very, very important Senate Environment and Works Committee, is a Catholic. So they're going to have to heed this. They're going to have to be very careful how they speak about any opposition to the Pope's words. But I'm optimistic that this will give them a path to begin speaking about climate change that provides safe harbor for their entire constituency.
You're listening to 89.1 WEMU and our first Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about Pope Francis and his approach to environment and climate change with the president of Conserve America, Rob Sisson. Now, Rob, I really appreciate your optimism about the upcoming encyclical. Let me ask you a follow-up question in regards to the not just division in the United States, but thinking about where the Catholics lie worldwide. With more than 40% of the world's Catholics in Latin America, do you think this could create unification or perhaps division among churchgoers worldwide?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, the Pope is going to visit Tacloban in the Philippines that was devastated by a typhoon 2 years ago, just before he releases this encyclical. And so much of the current impact of climate change is being felt by the world's poor nations and poor peoples, that if too much attention or that's held up as the example why we need to do this, it could drive a little bit of a wedge between wealthy nations and in the third world nations, Latin American nations. I hope that Catholics, Christians around the world would look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 40, which calls upon us to take care of the poor, clothe the poor, feed the poor, as one of our primary callings as Christians. And so this encyclical isn't going to just be about climate change. I think this is going to challenge all Christians worldwide to truly live out their faith.
So as we wrap up, Rob, I'm reminded of a fairly profound family story from the early 1960s, and family goers were at Mass, and the priest was reading a letter from the bishop regarding integration. And when he concluded, he said, "This letter says we have to love our Negro brothers, but it doesn't say we have to live next to them." As a devout Catholic and an ardent conservationist, what are your greatest hopes and, frankly, your greatest fears about the Pope's encyclical and local interpretation?
Well, my greatest hope is that the vast number of Americans who really aren't paying attention to climate change, or those who think it's a problem 30 years down the road, will have their minds kindled so that they recognize that this is a problem today that we must answer the problem today in order to prevent the big problems coming down the road. I am very worried. As a Catholic, I can recall growing up here in Michigan in the 60s and 70s and experiencing some discrimination because I was Catholic. And as an adult, reading histories, I discovered that there, in certain other faith traditions, it's kind of passed on through generations that, you know, Catholics are we're all planted here in the United States, waiting for the moment for the Pope to rise up and take over our sovereignty. And I'm afraid of that kind of rhetoric again rising up, that, you know, we're not going to let the Pope tell us how to live in America. When the Pope isn't, the Pope's telling us how to live as good and faithful Christian people.
That is Rob Sisson, President of Conserve America. I'm Lisa Wozniak, inviting you to join me next month for the next edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment is a monthly feature and is heard, as you might expect, on the first Friday of each month. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org.